be able to reapply again? Knowing the answer?
Your application date was 2/3/21, I believe the trooper said. You're allowed to submit an application every 12 months, if I'm not mistaken. So that...
Just handle it the proper...
Yes.
It would be, yeah, it would, yeah.
Thank you.
It would behoove you to...
Thank you, members, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, now, case number 12. 22-017.
I'll try to put Marin on top of this next time.
Yeah.
I hate when they have to wait all day.
That's all right.
Try to flip it over if I can.
Meriden case, is the appellant here?
I believe he's right there.
Oh, there, I believe.
Sleeping. Yes, he did. Sir, could you please identify yourself for the record as well as your witness, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is John Femia. I'm a detective with the Meriden Police Department. I'm here representing the issuing authority, Chief Roberto Rosato. With me is police service technician, John Williams will be my witness. He's a retired Meriden detective and is currently a detective with another police agency, but he's here in his civilian capacity as the police service technician who does our pistol permitting process.
Great. Right. Can you spell your last name for the record?
Sure. It's F as in Frank, E as in Echo, M as in Mike, I as in India, A as in Apple, and my first name is spelled J-O-N.
J-O-N?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I had J-O-H-N. Glad I asked. Okay. Detective, you're entitled to a brief opening statement if you'd like.
Yes, ma'am. The issuing authority denied the appellant's permit on suitability grounds based on the fact that appellant did not give a full application in response to clear questioning, questions on the application, and did not provide the issuing authority with information about potentially disqualifying information so that we can make a full and fair inquiry into his suitability. Specifically, the appellant did not list that he was convicted of a crime and did not list that he was subject to a protective order at the time, and upon further review does not appear to list that he was on a probation or probation-like sentence at the time as well.
Okay. So you're entitled to a brief opening statement if you'd like.
Yeah, when I filled out the application, I put on there that I was convicted of the crime in New York. Says it on there. I didn't put a restraining order because when I left court that day, the next morning,
the second.
What?
It doesn't say you. It didn't say you. You said no.
So you were arrested.
Oh, okay, arrested. But that's what I was arrested, and I put it down in New York. I didn't put a restraining order down because the morning I left New York, I was arrested the night before. They kept me in jail for 16 hours. The person didn't want to sign papers to have me arrested, I guess, for the complaint. So when I went to court that following morning, the prosecutors came up. They put a hold on the case because they were going to hunt her down to have her sign the paper. And I didn't know who she is. I don't know where she lives. So at the end, right before I left, she said, we're going to put a restraining order, or whatever that was. And to me, it didn't matter, because I didn't know who she was, what state she was from, anything. And that day that I walked out of there, all I wanted to do was get the hell out of New York. And I came home and pretty much forgot about it. And I went and I did all the stuff the court said I had to do. And I paid the lawyer, and it was during that COVID thing, so I never went back, and they closed everything. So I just figured I was good. That's all I got to say.
All right, Detective, you may proceed.
Yes, I'd like to get the testimony of Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams, are you familiar with appellant and his pistol permit application?
I am.
Can you explain to the board why you're familiar with it?
I conducted the background investigation and processed his pistol permit application.
And in the course of your duties conducting this background investigation, what relevant information do you believe we should give to the board?
So, during the appellant provided an application. He signed the application under oath before notary in September of 2020. He submitted the application to the city of Meriden in October of 2020. As part of his application, his fingerprints were taken. He was also run through 13 background checks through the National Crime Information System, called the NCIC system. The results of the background showed that at the time of his application, that he had been convicted, he was arrested. At the time of his application, he had been arrested for sexual assault, sexual touching of another, and harassment by physical contact with another person in the Bronx in New York City. He was convicted. They substituted the charge of disorderly conduct. He was convicted of disorderly conduct.
Before or after the application?
But dear, this is all before the application.
Okay, yeah, the way you, the phrase did, it sounded like there's a, okay,
no,
I just
I'm sorry,
want to concern.
So yep. Prior to the application, he was arrested for the two charges.
Yep.
He was convicted of disorderly conduct. He was given a conditional discharge and an order of protection, which remained in effect through the conditional discharge. On the date that he applied to the city of Meriden and on the date that we conducted his background investigation, he was still under the conditional discharge for disorderly conduct, and he was still under the order of protection. Because he's under an order of protection in one state, it's good in every state in the United States under the Brady Act. So he was statutorily prohibited from obtaining a pistol permit in the city of Meriden because he had an order of protection issued by the circuit court in the Bronx, New York.
As part of your background check, and you said you ran the appellant through NCIC and noted his criminal conviction. Did it note if the appellant was found or pled guilty on the conviction?
The conviction showed that the appellant pled guilty to the substituted charge of disorderly conduct.
In your background check of the appellant, did the appellant ever have any other contact with Meriden Police?
The appellant had an extreme in-house history, an in-house history with about 15 or 20 contacts over a 20-year period. In 1997, he was arrested for domestic violence. That case was nulled, so it was not listed. We did not use that as part of his background. He had another domestic incident in 2003 and 2006. No arrest or convictions, so we did not include that in the background at all. But he was familiar to the city of Meriden.
Okay. And the application is made under penalty of false statement, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, and it has to be notarized, in which the appellant would have to swear to the truth of the document?
That's correct.
And is it your expectation when you conduct background checks that applicants give full and fair disclosure of all information that could potentially affect their suitability and the review of their suitability, including information that may be used to disqualify them from suitability?
That's correct.
And the board has the application packet?
We do.
All right.
Thank you.
I have no further questions for this witness.
Thank you, detectives. Sir, do you have any questions of the witness?
Not really. I just thought I had everything cleared up.
We'll get there.
Up
we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
No, I have no questions.
Does the board have any questions of the witness? Chief?
Did you look into the nature and circumstances of the arrest in New York? What exactly was it?
So, Chief, I did. I called probably six different people through the court system in New York. As you know, New York's probably one of the largest cities in the world. All I did was get a runaround. I asked to try to get copies of the order of protection, and I was referred to different departments. I left multiple voicemails, and I never received a copy of anything.
I couldn't get anything either, so.
But I, as I...
Because the charges are probably forced touching type of sexual.
Correct, which is why I tried to get copies of everything, because the appellant put on his application under where it says arrest, he cited that he was arrested for disorderly. He never cited that he was arrested for sexual assault or harassment by physically touching someone. He just put he was arrested for disorderly conduct, and he put the case was closed due to COVID, and he put his lawyer's name and phone number down on that section. But where it says convictions, he checked off he had no convictions. At the time of application, he was convicted.
And just to get firm, at the time of application and the time of your denial letter, the appellant still had the standing order of protection, so
he's
statutorily barred.
According to NCIC, that's correct.
Yeah.
At the time of
denial. Just would have been, probably,
we denied him as well.
Yeah, probably would have, yeah, I know, but it would have been good in the denial letter that you're statutorily barred.
Well, I mean, he was statutorily barred the day he applied.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that would have helped us too.
No, I understand.
You know, he was statutorily barred. You really couldn't go much farther at that point.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Is Is there an expiration on the order of protection?
So the order of protection under New York state law, because it was issued during his conditional discharge, the minute his conditional discharge is lifted, the order of protection is also lifted. Similar to a protective order here in Connecticut, your protective order only lasts until the court case is disposed of, and then it's automatically erased. It's the same thing in New York.
And do you recall when that ended?
So he was given the order of protection, the order of protection, the conditional discharge in January of 2020. He was arrested in September of 2019. He was given the conditional discharge and order in January of 2020, so 4 months later. In New York, it can be anywhere from 12 to 18 months, but it doesn't say on NCIC, and I couldn't get an answer whether this was a 12-month conditional discharge or an 18-month conditional discharge.
It's been expired now for at least a year and a half.
Yeah, since that time, it has since expired now.
Other questions? Other witnesses?
I'd like to call the appellant.
Okay.
Sir, you filled out your pistol permit application, correct?
Yeah.
And you signed it?
Yes.
And you swore to the truth of it?
Yes.
Yes. And you did so in front of a notary?
Yeah.
And as part of the permit application, that you signed, there is a portion that warns for the penalty for false statement. Were you aware of that?
Yes. Okay.
And you signed the application?
Yes.
And the application, you didn't, in fact, check off that you were convicted, correct?
No, because I went to the court. I had to get a lawyer from New York because you can't use a Connecticut lawyer there.
Okay.
So I had to go back and forth. I went to the lawyer, we went to court, then they postponed it until the next week. I went back and we finished everything. I got my orders of what I was supposed to do. I went and I did the orders. I had to go to that drug thing in Meriden,
yep,
where they tested me, found nothing. I went to one of the, and the psychiatrist guy there tested me and he said everything was fine. We sent it all, I sent it to my lawyer. He sent it to the court. And he said it was closed. I had to pay him $130 to pay the court. I thought it was all done. That's why I did this. I waited to do it because I thought I was done and finished. I'm not trying to hide anything.
Okay. Let's go and talk about the incident that got you arrested. It involved a female and yourself, sir?
To tell you the truth, I really don't know.
Okay.
All right? I went to a baseball game with our whole company. It was a company trip. I just started working for the company like 6 months before that. And I was taking over an employee's job there because I was better than him.
Okay.
Before we went on this trip, he kept on telling everybody, somebody's not gonna return from the trip. My son worked there too. We went on the trip. I drank one beer. That's all I drank. I ate dinner and then I came back and got another beer. And then I don't know anything that happened until I was down in the jail cell. Nothing.
Okay. So when you were down in the jail cell, you knew what happened. What happened?
No, I didn't know what I really until the police actually told me.
What did the police tell you?
They told me that I was bothering a woman.
Okay.
Okay, but there's no Yankee Stadium, cameras everywhere. There's no proof. The girl didn't want to come sign a paper to have me arrested. She says, she told the police that having me stay overnight in jail was punishment enough.
What did the police tell you that she claims you did?
That touched her. That's what they told me.
Where did they say you touched this woman allegedly?
I guess on her chest.
On her breasts?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's what they told me, but I have no recollection of it. I've been married for 42 years to the same woman.
Okay.
And raised four kids. I have no idea. Somebody put one of those, what do you call them, roofie things or something in my drink because I don't remember anything.
Did you ever have issues like that prior to this?
No.
You had issues like that since?
No.
And you said you went for a drug test?
Yes.
Okay. When was that?
That was right when I had to do the thing for the court.
So your assertion is that you were roofied? And you don't remember what?
Yes, that's what I think. Okay. I mean, I'm not making up the story. I don't you know, I don't really need the permit. I'm just here because I want to get it.
Okay.
So I have no reason to lie. I have no idea what went on that night. Okay. Nothing.
So after you got out of jail in New York, since you thought you were drugged, basically, did you bother going to a doctor or to a hospital to see what had been done to you?
Down in the Bronx? No. I called my kid to come all the way there to pick me up.
Okay. What about when you got back to Connecticut?
I don't need to take, I don't know, I just didn't do it.
Okay. All right. So you did plead guilty to a disorderly conduct, though?
Yeah, I pled it down so I can get the hell out of there. I paid the $5,000, $7,000 to my lawyer and pleaded guilty. He said if I plead guilty to that, and then boom, it's all done.
So you paid $7,000.
So I could have fought it if I wanted to and got away with nothing, but I didn't have the money to do that.
But you don't dispute that the original charge against you was of a sexual nature?
I have no idea. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I'm not saying whether you did it, but the charge that you were charged with was essentially the Connecticut equivalent of sex assault.
I guess if that's what they said.
That
then yes,
you touched a person's private areas without their consent, allegedly.
If that's what they said.
I don't have any further questions for this witness.
Does the board have questions of the appellant?
I'm looking at the questionnaire you filled out for the board, the appellant questionnaire. Arrested in New York, cost $7,000. Girl did not sign the arrest paper. Woman judge and woman prosecutor. Why did you say that? What did that mean?
I said that because right then and there was part of the Me Too movement. They went and they hunted that girl down to sign that paper to finish going through the court. And put, I didn't even know her. I don't know what she looks like. I don't know where she lives. So why should I have a restraining order put on? In Yankee Stadium, you could be from any state in the country. They're watching the baseball game.
You know how old she was?
I have no idea. I mean, all the people that I was with had no idea. They had to go and find out why I got arrested. Because nobody saw anything.
You've alluded, or you made the comment or the statement multiple times that they, I'm assuming, you know, either the prosecutor or the police, tried to hunt her down, correct?
Yeah.
How are you aware of that?
Because right in, when we went in the court.
Now who's we? You and your
attorney?
And
the lawyer, yes. They asked, because she was supposed to be there, you're supposed to see her accuser. And she didn't show up because she didn't want to, she'd never signed the paper. You know, the arrest paper. She never signed it.
Was this the next morning?
Yes.
You have a very clear recollection of that. Very clear recollection.
I sat in a cell for 16 hours. Yes. And they postponed it because they said right there, the women prosecutors said, we're going to go find her to sign the paper.
Was the cell you were in the stadium, or was it just somewhere else?
No, they moved me somewhere. I don't.
So when you woke up,
it was up underneath the courthouse or something. I didn't wake up. I stayed awake all night.
Oh.
You had 16 other guys in there, you know, sleeping there.
Did you feel sick or?
No.
You felt
just
tired,
real tired.
You felt tired. But you were able to stay awake.
Yes.
After,
for fear of my life.
Right.
I mean.
I understand. The sentencing.
I was supposed to go to that drug thing.
No, I didn't ask the question. So at the sentencing, the judge will read.
Oh, the next morning.
Well, no, that when you're convicted. So you took a plea and pled to a disorderly conduct so that you could get the case over with. What did the judge or the prosecutor say in court that you did? They can't convict you without a factual finding. So what did they say in court?
The disorderly conduct. The lawyers did it all. I just sat there and listened.
So at a criminal sentencing, a judge doesn't say, okay, are you guilty of disorderly conduct? They're going to explain why you're pleading. So say, you know, we're in the hallway and you trip me and you get arrested for assault. The judge is going to say, on such and such a date, you tripped Attorney Footner in the hall, and she fell and broke her nose. So what did the judge say at your sentencing? You have no idea.
I have not. She just read off a few things and hit the hammer, and my lawyer gave me the paper and said, here you go.
So you paid an attorney, which you listed on your application, $7,000, Troy Smith?
Yes.
He would have been able to see the accusations, I take it. Did you talk to him about this case at all?
Not really, only a little bit, because I had to drive all the way to New York to go see him, to see if he would even take the case. I gave him the paper that they gave me that next morning, and he told me he'd take me to take the case. He was a JAG lawyer, and he said he'd take the case. And he looked at it, and he said, I can get this straightened out. It's going to cost you $5,000 to start. So I had to give him $5,000. Then I had to give him the $2,000 because it got extended to the next.
You weren't curious at all why you were pleading guilty to a crime?
No, I really wanted to get, because he brought it all the way down to a misdemeanor. So I said, I'll plead guilty, pay the money, and I don't live in New York, I don't go to New York, I don't want to go to New York. I just wanted to get rid of it, you know what I mean? End it.
Why did you put you weren't convicted of a crime on the application?
I didn't think I put not convicted. I mean, I was...
The question is, have you ever been convicted under the laws of this state, federal laws, or the laws of another jurisdiction?
I just read the first thing for the state. You know, I've never been convicted in the state of Connecticut.
Did you know there was a protective order in place at the time you applied for the pistol permit?
I had no idea. Because that next morning, I just forgot all about it because I don't know what she looks like. I don't know her name, and I don't know where she comes from.
So but you had paid a lawyer $7,000. So I'm just having a hard time creating the nexus by how you put no all over this application, but you didn't know anything that was going on at any point throughout this case.
No, because I wanted to pay the money, not to go back there, and just to be done with it. That's why.
Any other questions?
I don't have
any
anything
questions?
Else.
Are there any other witnesses for your side?
No, there's not, ma'am.
Sir, it's your chance to tell us what you'd like us to know.
I just told you. That's all I got to say. I mean.
All right. Would you like to make a closing statement?
No, I'm all set.
Okay. Detective, would you like to make a closing statement?
I would. I the issuing authority obviously denied appellant on suitability grounds. He clearly, by his own admission, didn't provide an accurate accounting of his behaviors, events, and situation on his application, which, you know, didn't necessarily allow us to do a full background check on possibly disqualifying information. And, you know, it was a very clear question he was asked that, by his own admission, he just didn't bother to fully read. It shows a lack of seriousness. His whole accounting of events in New York just shows kind of strains credulity. And we believe by a preponderance of the evidence that the issuing authority has met his legal burden, that appellant is unsuitable for a permit.
Thank you, Detective. Refactual.
This is a denial from the American Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial is the inaccuracies on the appellant's application to the PD. He did check. Yes, he had been arrested. The charges for what he was arrested for were not accurate. Had he even been convicted, he checked no, when in fact he had been convicted. The appellant also checked no to had he been the subject of a protective restraining order, when in fact he had. And from all appearances at the time of the denial, Meriden Police Department, they couldn't have issued the permit anyway because the applicant was still under a standing protective order something to that effect, and was statutorily barred. But at this point, it's a suitability case for us.
Thank you, Colonel. Any comments by the board? Seeing none, Attorney Rosenzweig. It's been a long day.
Chief.
All right. I'm sorry. Chief.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overture.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
And chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.